somewhere in time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from May 13th, 1996.
From the high desert and the great American Southwest, I bid you good evening, good morning, as the case may be, across this great land and all these time zones, many of them from the Hawaiian, Tahitian Islands in the west, east to the Caribbean and the U.S. Virgin Islands, south into South America, and north to the pole. This is Coast to Coast AM. Good morning, everybody. I'm Art Bell. Lots to talk about. And so we might as well get down to it. Let me just say, as far as I know, the Richard Hoagland, Apollo 14 astronaut, Dr. Edgar Mitchell debate is on for tomorrow night. It'll be 1 o'clock in the morning, actually. Technically, right now, from this time zone, the day after tomorrow, but tomorrow night, Wednesday morning. In other words, Wednesday morning at 1 o'clock in the west and 4 o'clock in the east. It should be an event. The only thing I'm wondering about right now is I got a call, actually on my answering machine, from Richard Hoagland's people, panicking, wanting phone numbers so they could get a FedEx delivery of photographs to Edgar Mitchell by air. Whether they did get it off, whether it'll make it in time, is problematic, I suppose, and I hope it will. Because everybody would like to be working from the same page. Should be the event. And I predict it could be anything from a 30-second event to a 2-hour event, 3-hour event. It's hard to tell. Really hard to tell. It depends on how it goes. And I'm going to let it be as freewheeling as possible. I do not like debates in which the parties are completely, as you know, I don't like them, held apart. You just don't get down to the root of the matter that way. So I'm likely to do what I usually do and let it be fairly freewheeling and hope that it will be conducted calmly. But I wouldn't place any bets on that, so we'll see. We'll see. You know about the crash of ValueJet 592. A DC-9 went into the Everglades north of Miami shortly after takeoff. Killed, of course, all 109 aboard. It has very nearly been completely swallowed whole by the alligator snake-infested waters in Florida. They've recovered now, late tonight, some body parts. Fairly small, I'm told. 5 to 6 minutes in the air, the pilot reported smoke in the cockpit, apparently back with the passengers as well. The airplane did a couple of long, lazy, uncontrolled-type turns, then turned on its side, then nosedived into the swamp. Tonight they found the black box. That's the flight recorder, not the more interesting cockpit recorder. The flight recorder will only give them information about altitude, speed, attitude, that kind of thing. The information about the fire, in all likelihood, would need to come from the cockpit recorder. So another horrible crash into a swamp. There was another, you know. And I never know what to say about airplane crashes. They're going to look into ValueJet. But in the beginning, they were saying that there were no apparent problems and that ValueJet had been very cooperative. Now, tonight, I'm seeing some news saying, well, no, they had been had some ongoing problems with ValueJet, one of those new cheaper fare type things. You know, the DC-9 was 25 years old, but should have been serviceable. You never know what to say. What would you do in the last few moments? You'd be aware it would be horrible. You would certainly know, as the plane did a nosedive, that you were going to die. Scream? Pray? Review your life? Tell somebody you love them? I don't know. I don't know. Dear Art, I don't know if anyone else has suggested this, but 20 years ago, there was a book called The Interrupted Journey, An Incident at Exeter. It was about another fatal air crash in the Everglades as well, December 29th of 1972, called The Ghost of Flight 401. 101 passengers and crew were killed. Later, appearing on other aircraft, the flight engineer and some of the stewardesses, what went down was an L-1011, and I can tell you these stories are true. There have been ghosts from that crash, and one day when somebody I know retires from a major airline, a good friend of mine, I will have him on and have him tell you about all of this. He can't do it while he's employed. But the stories of the ghosts, I can tell you, are true. And there are stories about ghosts from that flight that have never been told, even in the movie they did on that subject. Now, about midnight tonight, I haven't decided, midnight or 1 a.m., I am going to replay a segment in the beginning of Dreamland in which the initial report on the pieces I've got ostensibly from Roswell reports back. And Linda Howe gave us the details, and I am going to replay that so you get them. And I don't know where that leaves us. I kind of thought that it would end up as it has, and that is with no firm answers. At any rate, we've got a detailed report for you, and you want to know what those parts are, you'll find out. There is a distinct lack of any kind of decent issue for the presidential race coming up. The majority of the issues are social in nature. The economy is not right now a gigantic problem. And so there's not much ground for Bob Dole to churn up there. There is one issue, a social issue, that is now coming to a head. Because there is new legislation that has been proposed. It is called Defense of Marriage Act. Now, as you may know, in the state of Hawaii, they may legalize same-sex marriages. They may do so because the high court there said that to not do so is discriminatory. And in the Constitution, should Hawaii legalize, a marriage in one state would of necessity and by law, by the Constitution, have to be recognized in all other states. It's the full faith and credit clause of the U.S. Constitution. This bill would change that. Eight states have already outlawed same-sex marriages. The new bill outlaws it by doing the following. It defines marriage as a legal union between one man and one woman. You see, we have never defined what marriage is. Therein lies the problem. It also says the word spouse refers only to a person of the opposite sex. Bill Clinton late today came out and said that he personally opposes same-sex marriages, but he's going to have an incredible choice to make because it looks like this bill is going to pass. And that means it's going to go to his desk. And Bill Clinton has enjoyed the political backing of the homosexual community in America. It's not so sure he would if he were to veto this bill. So, what is he to do? One good question raised in a discussion over the weekend about this is, does the government have a compelling interest in preventing same-sex marriages? And if they do, why? So we've got two things here we could talk about. One is, what is a marriage? Is this an illogical, improper definition of a marriage? That being a legal union between one man and one woman. Now, obviously, if it is defined in this manner, then there will be no same-sex marriages. The networks have announced they're going to give free time to the presidential candidates. But the question is whether all of you will come and see it. And the probable answer is no. It was on the Brinkley Show Sunday, and they had a discussion about it, and Brinkley and others said, you know, we care about politics, it's our red meat here, but the American people don't. Not right now. And if that is true, why is it true? Have you given up? Do you just not care? Are there more important things in life? Are your interests elsewhere? It is something I have wondered about as well. People seem, at the moment, kind of fed up with politics. Maybe they've had enough. Maybe there's just not very much interest in Dole and Clinton. Maybe the country right now is saying to itself, it's going to be Clinton for another 4 years, and they just can't get interested in the race. I'm not exactly sure what it is, so I thought I would ask you. We'll be right back. Minutes did a very troubling piece on Iraq and the UN sanctions against Iraq. What are they accomplishing? Well, apparently not much. If the goal is to punish Saddam, then not much. He's got, you know, a brand new yacht. He's doing fine. Not doing fine, the children of Iraq. They're starving, 500,000 dead so far. They've got no antibiotics, no hospital supplies. 500,000 dead Iraqi children. So they interviewed Madeleine Albright, who virtually admitted Saddam is not being hurt. But she puts up a pretty good argument. She says, look, my job, I'm a humanitarian, I don't like seeing this happen, but she says, my job is to see to it that our troops don't have to go refight the Gulf War. And without these sanctions, they fear Saddam would divert materials and money from oil into war-making materials, and he probably would. So it's a hard call. 500,000 dead children. That's a hard call, folks. But I don't want our guys to have to go refight that war either. What would you do? What is right? What is wrong? Is the moral, there's no question, morally, it's rough. But it's a lot rougher to have to send 500,000 U.S. GIs over to, you know, fight some new war with Saddam. You tell me what you think. This one will get you. I just got this. Fire authorities in California. Now, this purports to be from NOAA, an investigation, safety board investigation. I don't know if it's true, but it's horrible. Fire authorities in California found a corpse in a burnt-out section of forest while assessing the damage done by a forest fire. The deceased male was dressed in a full wetsuit, complete with a dive tank, flippers, and face mask. A post-mortem examination revealed the person died not from burns, but from massive internal injuries. Dental records provided a positive identification. Get this. Investigators then set about determining how a fully clad diver could end up in the middle of a forest fire. It was revealed that, on the day of the fire, the person went for a diving trip off the coast about 20 kilometers away from the forest. The firefighters, seeking to control the fire as quickly as possible, called in a fleet of helicopters, you got it, with very large buckets. The buckets were dropped into the ocean for rapid filling, then flown to the forest fire and emptied. You guessed it. 1 minute, our diver was making like flipper in the Pacific. The next, he was doing a breaststroke in a fire bucket, 300 meters, 1,000 feet in the air. Apparently, he extinguished exactly 1.78 meters, or 5 feet 10 inches, of that fire. That's incredible, isn't it? Bunch of new good disaster movies coming out. Tornadoes? Have you seen Twister? Well, I have not yet. I saw a local weatherman. I think it was in Las Vegas. No, it wasn't. It was on CNN. And the weather guy said he had gone to see it, and he was sorry. I never saw him say why. But it sure looks like a neat movie. Tornado Chasers. I did that. So I'm going to have to see it. I'm very much looking forward to it. If any of you have yet seen Twister, I would like a little review. Should I go to the movie, or should I await pay-per-view and so forth? The nature of disaster movies in America is changing. It used to be ships, remember? Airplane movies. Now we get natural disasters, alien invasions, that sort of thing. From the City of Industry, a pregnant woman was stabbed during a restaurant parking lot robbery, get this, the night before Mother's Day, forcing doctors to perform an emergency cesarean. Maria Correa, 20, and her baby girl were in critical condition, police looking for the assailants. Two robbers walked up to her and a companion, demanded money. The companion handed over a wallet, and she surrendered her purse. Sheriff's spokesman said that she was stabbed in the stomach as soon as she gave her purse. So there you are. It's the way robberies are conducted these days. You know, somebody goes into a 7-Eleven. They robbed the store. Used to be they'd back out, wouldn't kill anybody, take the money, and run. Today, they kill the clerk just as an afterthought. And it looks like that occurred here as well. I've got a ton of information about the goat sucker, the chupacabra. It has been flooding in. And so I'll try and get to some of that. We're going to do a little bit of open line talk radio here in a moment. And I want to give you phone numbers so you can come along. First-time callers, area code 702-727-1222. The wild card lines, area 702-727-1295. West of the Rockies, it's 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, it's 1-800-825-5033. If you're outside the country, get the AT&T USA Direct Access number and then dial 800-893-0903 internationally. Or get the AT&T operator and have her dial 800-893-0903.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time. Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from May 13th, 1996.
Good morning, everybody. I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to do the replay. Now, let me think about that. Maybe we'll do it at midnight. I don't know. Anyway, and I'm talking about the replay of the Linda Howe report on the articles that I have. Anyway, check this out, folks, and then it's off to the phones. The following article, published in the May 13th Houston Chronicle, entitled Saved by a Skin. A Texas man's quick action after he was bitten by a coral snake probably saved his life, according to medical officials. The man was walking with his brother along U.S. 281 near Encino on Friday when he bent over and felt in the grass for signs of water. He was looking for water. Well, he felt something bite his right hand. Thought it might have been an insect bite. When he saw an 8-inch coral snake, he grabbed it and killed it. He grabbed the snake and bit its head off. He then skinned it and used the skin of the snake as a tourniquet. Passerby drove him to the hospital, where anti-venom was rushed in from Gladys Porter Zoo in Brownsville. Hospital officials said he will probably make a full recovery. Is that incredible or what? What people can do when they want to live. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, sir.
You were talking about the election and people not paying attention to it. And
not even caring.
Yeah, well, I think, I voted, I'm an independent voter, but I voted Republican since Reagan's second term.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't vote for him the first time. I didn't vote for any of them the first time he ran. I don't know. The way it looks now is that the Republican Party squandered the biggest political advantage they had in history in 1994 by letting the old power brokers of the party run stuff and not listening to the people, and we're going to be stuck with Slick Willie again, and I think it's probably decades before the country recovers.
Yeah, I think your response is typical, and I think it's what people have concluded, and they're just not engaged.
Yeah, I argue with people all the time. I plan on going and voting for Mr. Dole, but I think it's probably a futile effort.
All right. Thank you very much for the call, sir. You heard that voice. It's probably a futile effort. Well, a lot of people have concluded that. Mr. Dole has not yet made it a race. In fact, he's hardly even. You know, I really, really would like to interview Bob Dole. I have this feeling that the American people don't know Bob Dole. And if they did, they would feel differently about him. I'll tell you something. There has got to be an effort to humanize Bob. He's got to spend some time with the American people in a forum like this. Not Meet the Press, where it's just one rapid-fire political question after another. But rather where the people get to know Bob Dole. That's what he has got to do to begin to close the gap. And I would love to do it. I've got a request in to Dole headquarters, and we'll see. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. My name is Tony. I'm from St. Louis Park,
Hi, Tony.
Minnesota.
Yes, sir.
KSTP. Yeah, I guess part of the reason why I think people have become disenchanted with politics is they both Republicans and Democrats have become one and the same, and people just envision them as both crooks. And
there is something to that, and there's right now not a lot of difference between Doe and Clinton. For example, Doe and Clinton both endorse the idea of continuing most favored trading status for China.
Right.
Not even a difference there.
Right.
So I think we're going to end up with a status quo, and I think you hear his voice? Listen to the voices. They are not engaged. Well, I just don't see a lot of difference. Well, I'm not engaged. I'm not interested. I don't think Bob Dole can beat Bill Clinton. I could go on and on. All the things you're going to hear said. The Republicans squandered the best opportunity they've ever had. That was first caller. And all of that is true. So somehow the American people are just unengaged politically. They don't care. And I understand that feeling. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Good evening, Art.
Hello.
Your signal comes in quite strong here.
I beg your pardon?
Your signal comes in quite strong here.
That's good.
I was wondering, do you have anything more about the 5-foot egg?
Yes, we had it on Dreamland.
I know. I was wondering if you found out anything new.
Well, yes, sir. I just told you it was revealed on Dreamland the 5-foot egg is a hoax. It's a hoax. It's a radio station promotion. And Linda Howe called the zoo and had a report on Dreamland. So maybe you missed it. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Martin from Langley.
Hello.
I'd like to say or ask you, have you switched into Windows 95? Or are you still down on 3.1?
You know, it's funny you should ask. Earlier today...
Uh-oh.
I converted one computer to Windows 95. And it's my test. So I did that earlier today. It's funny you should ask about that.
Yeah, what I wanted to say is let us know how it goes, because I'm with 3.1 right myself, and I'm wondering about the 95. I held off when you started voicing concerns.
Yes,
and
well.
I was reading all the other concerns in the magazine. So.
Yep.
The other thing is I phoned you before about transistor versus tubes, and I guess I couldn't get through when Wayne Green was on.
Yes.
But I found that for... brute force, reception, the tube ones seem to do, you know, a fairly good job when we're not talking about
No. Here's the way it breaks down, I think. When you're talking about the front end of radios,
right.
Transistors versus tubes, there is no contest. Transistors have a far better signal-to-noise ratio. And they outperform tubes. However, in the final stages of audio amplifiers and those sorts of applications, tubes will still produce response that transistors have yet to equal. So
right.
It depends on the application, sir. Thank you very much for the call. On the first-time caller line, you would have been on the air. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello there, Art. Jim calling from Seattle, KOMO.
Yes, sir.
And calling about Twister.
Yes.
A hell of a great movie. It was absolutely phenomenal, the cinematography that they used on that thing.
Special effects were good.
Oh, man. Oh,
I had someone tell me that one problem they had was that a lot of the dialogue was hard to hear.
Oh, absolutely.
Really?
But that was part of it. I think they did that on purpose, in a sense. You know, in the middle of a tornado, it's kind of hard to talk to each other.
It is, yes.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. I wouldn't know from up here. We just have earthquakes. But I'll tell you, I went into the movie theater. It was jam-packed. I had to sit unusually close to the screen,
mm-hmm.
which I'm glad I did. Wouldn't do it for a normal movie, but for that movie. Therefore, it... But, you know, the movie really didn't have much of a plot, you know, and you hear him say this in the reviews. But that's really not what you were there for. I mean, the storm chasing was good. And any time you can get Helen Hunt, you know, in a white tank top in the pouring down rain, of course, is going to be well worth it itself.
All right, sir. Look, I appreciate the review. I will go to see it, no doubt. I chased tornadoes.
Where did you do that, or how the hell did you come up with it?
Amarillo, Texas. I'll tell you a little story here. I've told it before. A very good friend of mine, who is still, by the way, a weatherman in Lake Charles, Louisiana, Lynn Whitlake. Lynn is in my book, incidentally, and the whole thing on tornadoes is in my book, too. That's when I was stationed at Amarillo Air Force Base, and one of the things we did, because Lynn was a total nut on the subject, and I was a semi-nut, is we chased tornadoes. Well, we chased thunderheads in a Volkswagen. Lynn and I did. We chased one... a thunderstorm, or actually a series of them, cells, from Amarillo all the way up into Oklahoma. And how we ever lived through all of that, I will never know. But I went through a period of time in my life when I lived there, when I was fascinated. You know, as the big thunderheads would build and go up 55,000 feet or so and higher, we'd get in that Volkswagen and we'd load up the cameras and we'd take off after that cell and we'd watch it waiting for tornadoes, and we found a few. And it is an incredible force of Mother Nature, and how I ever lived through all that, I'll never know. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. This is Fred in Tacoma.
Hi, Fred.
Hi. Hey, I know you're not a fan of the new Star Trek series, but it might be interesting to note that 2 weeks from now, an episode of DS9 will air. It's called The Quickening.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, I'm not. I just about died when I saw the slate.
Well, you know, I've got a lot of listeners in Hollywood.
So. I'm sure you do.
So don't be surprised. You'll probably see a lot of that.
Oh, yeah.
All right, my friend, thank you.
All right.
Yes, well, a lot of listeners in Hollywood. And it's sort of a natural thing. That's how it caught on here, and so it's how it's catching on elsewhere as well. The Quickening, huh? East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Good morning, Art. Mike in Blair, Nebraska.
Hi, Mike.
Listen, I've never looked forward more to your newsletter than this month.
Oh, it's a good one.
Well, guess what?
What?
It hasn't showed up yet.
Well, you should have it within days.
Did it go out late this month?
It did, yes. It went out about a week late.
Well, that would explain it. Then I should expect it any day now, then.
I would say, if you're lucky, tomorrow.
Well, I've just been anxiously checking the mailbox every day, just chomping at the bit to see it.
Well, you're not going to want to miss tomorrow night.
Well, I won't miss tomorrow night.
I'm sure.
You do such a service for us, Art.
Well, we'll see. How do you, I'll let you make a prediction now. How do you think it's going to turn out?
Well, I would expect Dr. Mitchell to just say, Richard, listen, I've been there, you haven't,
yep.
This is the way it is.
Well, let me tell you, assuming that they get there, because Richard mailed them very, very late.
Oh.
I got a message after, 5 o'clock Pacific time.
Mm-hmm.
Emergency, we need Dr. Mitchell's phone number, otherwise they won't deliver this.
Oh.
And so, of course, by then I was sound asleep, so it was too late. They faked a phone number and they sent it off anyway. They do have the address. So here's the deal. We hope Dr. Mitchell will have the Apollo 14 photographs Richard is sending.
Well, I hope so. That'd be very interesting. I've seen some of the photographs, not all of them, but some are very compelling, very interesting. I mean, I couldn't say what's there, but it's interesting.
Well, I make no predictions about the interview, none whatsoever.
Well, it should be fun, though.
We'll see. Thank you. Fun, yes. Interesting, oh, yes. How it will end... I don't know. That's a little problematic, I would say. east of the Rockies. You're on the air.
Good morning, Art.
Good morning.
This is Sky in New Orleans.
Hi, Sky.
Yeah, yes. I got a movie review also for you for Twister.
You saw it, huh?
Yes. After I tell you, I'd like to also get Wayne Green's correct address, if you have it handy there.
No, I don't.
Oh, nuts. Well, aside from the usual Hollywood Barbra Streisand, I would go see it just for the effects alone.
Really?
Oh, definitely, because I won't say it looked real, because, you know, I have seen tornadoes a couple up close. But it's about as close as anybody could imagine that, you know, it could be produced man-made. You know, the storyline is, you know, kind of typical. You can almost, you know, read what's going to happen once everything starts rolling. You know, dialogue's kind of lame. It's very predictable in that way. But the special effects and, you know, the movie does keep moving. But it's got a couple of things like the last big one they're going after. Evidently, this thing kept going for hours because they had to chase it all the way across the countryside.
Oh, it has occurred. Tornadoes have done the weirdest things. Thank you. They have, for example, come down and literally remained in the same place on the ground, not moved. And that can occur when a storm is stationary and the tornado just sits there, boring a big hole in the ground. I've seen that. Tornadoes can skip, destroy one home, lift up above another and come down on a third, or destroy one and then go back up. Or many tornadoes can remain under the roll cloud and not touch down at all. All kinds of, or water spouts. They are fascinating, and it is the new genre of horror movie. That's what I think. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hi, this is David. I'm in Seattle.
Hi, David.
Hey, I got a question. You know, I was listening a little earlier about, you know, who's going to be president and how nobody's interested in it. And, you know, I kind of have a lack of interest myself. Yeah, the reason for it is I'm not sure it really makes any difference who's in the White House, you know. I was hearing a little while ago about the Congress passing legislation to repeal the so-called assault weapons ban.
Yes.
And then the Senate said that they probably wouldn't even bother to look at it.
That's right.
Then the President vowed to repeal it.
That's right. Well, he would veto it.
Well, vowed to veto it. And that kind of tells me that they've all got their own agenda.
Well,
regardless of
sir, the reason that the assault rifle ban came up is that it was going to come up months earlier, but in order to avoid the fight, they put it off, and they had a promise to the NRA that it would be brought up. So to keep that promise, whether or not it was voted on positively, they had to bring it up. And they were simply fulfilling a promise to the NRA.
Mm.
Everybody knew it wouldn't pass.
Well, okay, that was just an example. Maybe it wasn't a very good one or not, but I just kind of tend to think that the people who, you know, the small group of families with the most money are kind of controlling what's going on, and that they control the Senate, they control the White House, and who gets in there and so forth. You know, that's just an opinion, but...
Will this keep you from voting?
No, but I'm not really sure that who to vote for. I probably vote Libertarian just to avoid either one of the parties, because I feel the Republicans and Democrats, you know, we pretty much get the same thing. You know,
I wish I had a good argument against that. I mean, Bob Dole is arguably different than Bill Clinton, but in the final, the true, you know, really at the end of the road, I'm not sure there is a gigantic difference, or that there would be. So I have the same feelings. And the American people just sort of seem disenchanted, as if, oh, well, what can I do?
Yeah, you know, and when Bill Clinton, he first took office, he was promising to give us a bunch of jobs, you know, sort of like a new deal, rebuilding our infrastructure. And I never heard anything about that after he got elected. And there were all kinds of promises made during his campaign, you know, and I was kind of excited about that whole thing. And it just fizzled out, you know.
Right,
I
know,
sir. It was all hot air, and you know, it's disillusioning.
I appreciate your call. Well, that makes what, about four in a row like that? All right, we're going to pause here at the top of the hour, and we'll be right back. The Linda Howe segment at 1 a.m.
The trip back in time continues with Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM. More Somewhere in Time coming up. Presents Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from the 13th of May, 1996.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Live Talk Radio, because this radio station cares enough to have Live Talk Radio on all night long. Now, as you know, tomorrow night, now I can say actually tomorrow morning at 1 o'clock Pacific Time, 4 a.m. Eastern, Richard Hoagland and Dr. Edgar Mitchell, the Apollo 14 astronaut, are going to appear on the radio together in something of a debate. The materials, whether they get to Dr. Mitchell in time is problematic, but we hope so. They went out by FedEx. Richard didn't get them off until late in the afternoon, so we hope they make it in time, because we want Dr. Mitchell to have the photograph so we can look and everybody can be on the same page. Steve in Santa Barbara just faxed me. Dear Art, prediction for tomorrow night. Hoagland declines interview because Mitchell has not received documents in time. If he does appear on the show, Mitchell mops the floor with him. Definitely one for the vault, Steve in Santa Barbara. Then we talked a bit about politics, simply from the point of view that the American people don't seem engaged. The networks this year are going to give the candidates free time. Free time. So all of you can watch. The betting is that you will not. And so we've been talking about why people are so disenchanted, generally, with politics right now. Art, registered Republican here, but after many years in a business where I was privy to much inside information, you can trust me on this. You don't want Bob Dole as president any more than you want Clinton. I know too much inside info on Dole's interests, activities, who he owes, and who owes him. Well, after this long in politics, I would say that's probably an accurate statement. Art, the marriage bill. News reports are saying Clinton will sign the bill. Now, that would be something. That really would be something. That would be handing Bob Dole a real campaign issue. There is a bill now called the Defense of Marriage Act, and here's what it would do. It would define marriage for the first time as a, quote, legal union between one man and one woman. Do you think that's proper? Further, it would define spouse as only a person of the opposite sex. This effectively would put a crunch in the full faith and credit clause of the U.S. Constitution, which is generally there to be sure that what is legal in one state, like Hawaii, would be legal in all states. So Bill Clinton's going to be in the middle on this one. Yes, word on the street is he's going to sign the bill. He's going to say, I am personally opposed to the concept. But, you know, he's got a big constituency out there that votes for him because he is thought to be friendly on homosexual rights issues. Tough choice. You sign the bill, you hand Bob Dole a big campaign issue. You veto the bill, and a lot of your constituency probably walks away. First-time caller line, you're on the air.
Hello, this is Troy from Medford.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I was going to talk about the election, and you're talking about how there's a lot of apathy out there.
Yes, can't you hear it?
Yeah, I can. I've been talking with people, and they seem to say that they don't care, yet they're going to vote for Clinton because they don't care, I guess. But I was thinking one way to maybe heat things up is have Harry Brown in the debates. That'll bring up some issues.
Well, it might bring up some issues, and it might heat things up a little bit, but Harry Brown is not going to win the presidency.
No, I don't think he's got a chance. Well, I think he has a very, very, very slim chance. But it at least will make it somewhat exciting to watch.
So Jimmy crack corn, and I don't care, and I might not even vote. That's about the attitude.
Yeah.
Or I don't care, vote for Bill Clinton. There's a good bumper sticker. If you don't care, vote for Bill Clinton. Oh, boy. Presidential race. Yes, the American public is very apathetic. They're tired of politics, as usual, which would continue whichever candidate wins. And again, as usual, they feel they have no real voice in the selection of candidates. Furthermore, there is a general distrust of our present political system and its officials. Yeah. Yeah, it's just where everybody is right now. Politics is not the issue it was a year ago at this time, 2 years ago. It's just gone. They're going to have to do something to get the American people engaged. Or it's going to be a vote for, I just don't care, and so Bill Clinton gets back in. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Yo, Art.
Yo, sir.
Yo, that was quick.
Good.
I didn't even go through a screening process.
We don't screen call, sir.
Well, apparently not. Say, I missed most of the show tonight, but Chupacabra?
Yes.
Out of Mexico?
Yes.
You know, there's an article in the San Francisco paper that said that one of the farmers got bit by him.
That's right.
Yeah, you heard that. So, and then they turned around, and the other guy said the other night that in Tijuana that they found one drowned in a pool or something.
Well, I've not been able to substantiate that report yet, but yes.
Did the guy get... I didn't catch the whole thing, but in the newspaper it said that it was 3 foot tall.
3 to 4 feet, sir. If you listen on the air, I'll give you some of the latest. The elusive predatory creature known as Chupacabra is at large in Mexico. Reports are coming in from the states of Veracruz, Sinaloa, and Jalisco. Do I have that right? I hope so. Animal deaths continue to multiply, and now a woman who claims to have been the victim of an attack. A newscaster in Mexico broadcast today that Theodora Reyes, a resident of a village in Sinaloa, had been attacked by the chupacabra. The victim presented what appeared to be burn marks on her back where the creature had clawed her. Art, I don't know if you've heard, but on the 5 p.m. news here in Houston, it was announced there had been a lamb found dead in South Texas today, cause of death unknown, but authorities said it appeared to be the victim of some sort of, quote, blood-sucking creature, end quote. And they've got nets and traps down in Sinaloa. They're trying to trap the creature. Art, what if deadly viruses such as Ebola are not the only exotic organism that mankind's unprecedented economic activities in the world's rainforests have unleashed? Perhaps La Chupacabra have survived in some previously undisturbed corner of the rainforest for thousands of years, contentedly drinking the blood of other forest inhabitants, and only recently being displaced out of the or out into the world at large by chainsaws and bulldozers. If this is the case, a chupacabra, we may be dealing with as more ravenous and bloodthirsty and angry. We, in fact, may be dealing with an extremely angry, ravenous, bloodthirsty monster outraged at humans for dislodging them from their ancient home. Some of the latest. west of the Rockies. You're on the air. Going once.
Hello.
Hello. No. Wild card line, you're on the air.
Hello, calling from Anchorage.
Yes, sir.
Art, how much lead do you think the astronauts took with them when they went to the moon to shield themselves from the rays of the sun?
I don't know.
Must have been a whole bunch, huh?
Well, it depends on who you believe, I guess.
Well, no. I mean, they got to shield themselves from the rays of the sun, so they got to take something.
Well, what I had always heard was that during the trip, now, this is a great controversy, there would not be, in that period of time, enough absorbed to be harmful. It would be an issue on a long trip, for example, to Mars.
You know, this quickening thing, wouldn't it also follow that there is a quickening of lies from the media? Wouldn't that also follow in this quickening?
Possibly.
You know, I believe in this chupacabra as much as I believe the astronauts actually went to the moon.
In other words, you don't think they went to the moon?
I think there's quickening and lies from the media.
Mm-hmm. All right, sir, thank you. There's another one. Doesn't think we ever went to the moon in the first place. There is a body of belief of that sort out there. I am not one of those people. I think we did go to the moon. And I think if there's anything that Mr. Mitchell and Mr. Hoagland will agree on, it is that. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
It's Art.
Yes.
Okay. This is Mark from Estherville in Estherville, Iowa.
Yes, sir.
And I wanted to talk to you about different topics. Okay. You done shows on Kennedy assassination, John Kennedy. Okay. I've read up, you know, several books on that. I read one book by David Lipton, which I thought was really good. And he had a different medical, you know, terms that he had for about the autopsy and everything.
Yes.
And I thought that was really interesting. He said when they did the autopsy in, like, Bethesda, Maryland, and when they opened the casket to do the start of the autopsy, they said that it was apparent he'd had surgery, and, you know, on his head.
Yes, yes, sir. I've heard all of this and so much more, and we are never going to know the real story on the assassination. Never. I find the discussion hardly worth having anymore. There are so many theories. They are piled so deep. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. If somebody walked out to a podium tomorrow and said, here is the real story of exactly what happened at the Kennedy assassination down in Dallas. Here's the way it really went down. If it was the absolute truth, nobody would ever know it, because it would simply be one more story piled on the already mountainous material regarding the Kennedy assassination, so much material that the truth will be obscured forever in a blizzard of theories. And people will always have divergent views of what really occurred. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi. Hello? Yes, sir.
Yes.
You're on the air. Time to talk. Turn your radio off.
Turn the radio off?
Yes.
We're listening to it.
All right. Well, then, you can't go on the air that way, sir. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Hi.
Let me shut that radio off.
Thank you.
All right. Got a question you might pose to him tomorrow that I saw on hard copy the other night, and that was a place on the moon called Avery. Have you heard of that?
No.
Well, it's either Avery on the moon or Avery, Scotland. Is Scotland where they found the, what am I thinking of, the, I don't know. Anyways, what happened? They took a picture of those circles on the moon next to the man and the face on the moon?
The face is on Mars, sir.
On Mars?
Yes.
Well, okay. The ones with the circles on them, they had a picture of a place in Scotland. It's an exact duplicate of the city in Scotland. They overlaid it with a schematic and drew.
Okay. Well, I'll let you call in that question.
Let me ask you. Let me say something else to you. When you read the story of the guy in the car that went into the side of the mountain.
Yes.
That sounded like an advertisement for the new Jack Kevorkian Jato Assist Suicide with Internment.
All right, thanks. By the way, that that story about the Chevy with the Jato attached to it is now up on the Internet, on my webpage. And by the way, the report on the materials from Roswell, I intend to replay. We had it on Dreamland Sunday, and Linda Howe gave us a detailed preliminary report on the materials. And I'm going to replay that at the top of this next hour. That I've got a second letter from the man who sent the materials. That letter is also now on my webpage. So there's a lot of stuff up there on my webpage if you want to go take a look. It is www.artbell.com. The cat scream is up there now as a wave file, and so you can do as I do and have that cat scream when you come and go from Windows if you use a computer. And I'm telling you, drive the cats in your house absolutely crackers. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello?
Hello.
Yes?
Yes, I'd like to talk about the issue of the presidential race. To borrow an analogy from a book called Ishmael, I believe it's kind of like the first air machine. My name is Chris from Portland, by the way. The first air machine going down. The way the government is being run right now, just, we need to bail. It's not a matter of who's president. It's a matter of a totally new system. I suppose it's sort of a revolutionary approach, but I think the system kind of sucks in a way, and we just sort of have to.
Well, slow down. Slow down. The system kind of sucks, and we need to create a whole new system. What do you have in mind?
unfortunately, I don't have the right idea. I don't have the right ideas to change it. But I think that's a lot of why people are kind of
apathetic
and disillusioned by the whole thing is the system just ain't working, and people are starting to feel that a lot right now.
Mm-hmm.
So.
All right, sir. Thank you. I don't know about that. I'm not sure the system is wrong. The system is a result of the present constitution we have, and I don't really want to change that because there really isn't anything better around. It's just that this is not a particularly exciting race, is it? There's nothing dynamic going on, save this business on marriage. That would be a big issue if the president were to sign this bill legalizing same-sex marriages. Despite his personally stated feelings, then there would indeed be an issue, at least one good, strong issue. Otherwise, there's not a lot of difference between the two. So it is unexciting. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hello, Art.
Hi.
This is David in Newhall.
Where?
What's that?
Where are you?
Newhall.
Newhall, okay.
I wanted to talk about politics for a minute.
Sure.
You know, Charlie and I think a couple other liberals were on Friday talking about what liberalism is. During the 19th and early 20th century, communists basically stole this word and bastardized it to make them appear what they're not. Now, when you really look at what liberalism is, liberalism is an economic theory that emphasizes individual freedom.
Mm-hmm.
It also has to do with the self-regulating market, the gold standard, free competition.
In all its purest form, communism is supposed to be those things, but never on earth can you show me an example of where it has been that. Can you?
Where communism has been that?
Yeah.
Well, no, communism isn't that. That's what liberalism is.
Well, I know, but both profess to give people that and to make everything even and sort of heaven on earth. But in its purest form, it might work if it really worked, but it never does, ever.
Well, I think it worked the earlier part of our country. I mean, after all, Jefferson was a liberal.
Do you mean liberal or do you mean communist? There is a difference.
Well, what I'm saying is that the communists basically use this word in order to try to twist, to try to sanitize their goals. Mm. Actually, if you... You know, if you look at what the liberals really stand for, today's liberals, they actually stand for the direct opposite of what the word actually means. You know, you look at people like Charlie Clinton, they actually stand against individual freedom, they stand against economic freedom.
All of that is absolutely true, sir. And yet, it's prevailing. How do you account for it?
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time.
Think this nation could go through another 4 years of William Clinton without armed conflict? I don't think so. I've been a firearms dealer for 12 years and have seen the change in attitude of gun buyers since Clinton came to power. The same guys that were buying bolt-action hunting rifles turned to buying high-capacity semi-automatics. I have sold weapons to people who I had previous gun control arguments with. These people did not buy them for sport. The quickening is a good term, I'm afraid. Love the show. Greg, Radical Gun Dealer. And he gives his last name in Alaska. I won't give it. Then this, I doubt if Dr. Mitchell will just mop the floor with Mr. Hoagland. It will be more like a public exhibition of cannibalism. Dr. Mitchell will chew him up so fine there'll be nothing left to spit out. From Ivan in Pullman, Washington. Well, I don't know, Ivan. You're underestimating Richard Hoagland. I make no predictions myself about the outcome, or even for sure if it will occur. I believe it will. They have both accepted, but it seems an unlikely debate, and yet a good one, as someone said earlier, one that you wouldn't for all the tea in China miss. It'll occur tomorrow morning at 1 a.m., assuming all things are equal, which, of course, they sometimes are not. It will be fascinating. I make no predictions. 10 seconds, 30 seconds, 5 minutes, it's hard to tell. You're on the air, Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. Good morning. Let me try it here. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Art. Can you hear me?
I hear you.
Doc Democrat.
Hi, Doc.
Hey, I think you have it wrong. Who authored this anti-homosexual marriage bill? I thought it was the Republicans that wrote the bill.
It absolutely is.
Well, the Republicans are against the homosexual marriages. So if Clinton signs it, he's agreeing with the Republicans.
Well, what I've heard, though, despite what the facts are said, is that Clinton has said he is personally opposed to it. That's not the same thing as saying, I will sign the bill.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is if he signs the bill, he agrees with the Republicans, so the Republicans have no issue with
him. That's absolutely correct.
But you said vice versa. You said if he signs a bill...
Oh, that's true. Well, that's right. If, in other words, if he simply... you know what I think he'd probably do? I think his best bet would be to do what a lot of presidents do, and that is just let it sit there until it passes into law without his signature.
Well, he's going to sign it, and he's not going to lose one homosexual vote. Because the homosexuals understand what the Republicans are up to, trying to create a wedge between that constituency, and it's not going to happen because they're certainly not going to vote for Bob Dole. Because if you vote for Bob Dole, we're going to end up in a hole. But anyhow, that's another issue. But as far as you said this election is not going to be exciting, I disagree with you. It's going to be very exciting because Clinton's going to win. And as a Democrat...
he probably is going to win. He's got a 20 to 30 point lead right now. That'll be whittled down as a natural course of events. But, yes, unless something radical occurs, I think he will win.
But what surprises me is that, as you know, Clinton has a huge gender gap.
Yes.
But Clinton...
No. Dole has the gender gap.
Well, yeah, you're right. But Clinton is also about 2 points ahead with the males. So Clinton is holding his own with the males, and that's unusual because the Republicans usually win the male vote.
No, it's true. Thank you. That is true. And for some reason, females don't like Bob Dole. I think it's choice, the abortion issue. maybe a little bit. I really don't think that's it, though. Because President Reagan was pro-life, and he collected lots and lots of female votes. So why do we have the gender gap with Bob Dole? As Doc pointed out, even males prefer, by some few points, Bill Clinton. But females, by a gigantic majority, prefer Bill Clinton. Now, why would that be? Anybody have any thoughts? East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Yeah, Art?
Yes.
Can I ask you a personal question?
Sure.
You don't have to answer it, because, I mean, it's not even about anything you've been talking about. But I was just wondering, did your kids go to private school or public school or homeschool? Or?
My child is going to public school.
Is it a boy?
Yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Did you hear what happened in Pennsylvania?
Yes.
Did you comment on that? Did I miss you commenting on that?
Well, we commented when the news came in. Yes.
It
was awful, of course. Absolutely awful. You're on the air, Coast to Coast AM, with Art Bell. Good morning.
Hi, Art. Calling from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you know, the pessimism about the political process is obviously international, especially here in Canada. I think it relates to the pressure group warfare where in the midst of, we see all these battling pressure groups, and they really fund and push these political campaigns, and we're leaving a choice, basically two of the same principle. And I think the first solution is stop the mandatory funding of, we have it here in Canada, to gay rights groups, foreign aid, national endowment for the arts, and all that stuff. If we can make all that funding voluntary through private contributions, that'll lighten up the scene a bit. What do you say?
Well, I say yes, it's an issue, but it's not a big one. Right now, I guess foreign aid is fairly substantial as an issue, but I think funding of the arts, that sort of thing, very minor, very small money compared to what the issues ought to be.
How about the free flow of information? Is that a major issue?
Well, we have it here. It may be an issue in Canada.
Well, I'm talking about a friend of mine a few years ago told me about UFOs and all these various groups like the Bilderbergers and the Masonic Lodge and all that, and he said the information is repressed, basically in referring to the three major networks, say CBS, NBC, and whatever, ABC. Do you think there's a lightening up? Not necessarily a free flow of info, but is the valve open? Are the three major networks going to be carrying studies of the Chupacabra and stuff like that?
Well, they are. Already, the major network anchor stations are running stories about this. So, no, I you know, that's one thing I'm really not concerned about. We basically do have a free flow of information. I mean, I can guarantee you that. I really can. I am now on almost 270 radio stations nationwide. Nobody tells me what to put on the air. Nobody. We discuss anything here. The calls are not screened. There's no qualification regarding subject matter that you want to talk about. It's free. It's open. You can say what you want. No. The First Amendment is alive, and I believe, well, in America. And if there was going to be any censorship, they should have by now approached me, wouldn't you think? So I'm telling you, I have never had even the slightest hint of anybody trying to force me into any opinion one way or the other. I come on here and say exactly what I want to say. The big networks, well, it may seem like censorship, but they've got 30 minutes at night, you know, to do news. And they decide what the priorities are, and you may claim censorship through omission, I suppose. But generally, I think the First Amendment in America is alive and well. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Yes. Let me turn my radio off for a second.
Thank you. Please. Have it close.
Okay,
off.
Art?
Yes.
This is Doug from Kansas City.
Yes, Doug.
Yeah, I was wanting to know if anybody had figured out where you got the sound from Gabriel's horn yet.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You want to...
It was from Ten Commandments.
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Yes, we had that on the air last week. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hi, Art. This is James in Everett, Washington.
Yes, sir.
And I have a couple of comments. First off, I want to tell the American people, please don't get rid of the Constitution, but get rid of the politicians would be a good thing. And second of all...
Well, the Constitution, sir, is what allows us to do that.
Yeah.
Without the Constitution, they would be there and stay there.
Yeah. I just wish that people would, you know, morally recognize that we can boot these politicians out of office.
Mm-hmm.
And so forth and so on. But anyway, I have another comment about the chupacabra.
Yes.
I would like to know if this chupacabra, if it's like such a horrible, vicious beast, if the animals' rights activists would protect it. So, if there's any animals' rights activists...
The answer is absolutely yes. In other words, if they found one chupacabra, just one chupacabra, you can depend on the fact that whatever it is would be put immediately on the endangered species list. Wouldn't it? I'm sure that would be the case. I'm sure it would. But they can't do that until they can identify it as a specific species. So the minute they get one, oh yes, you know it's going to be on that list. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello?
Hello. Yes, you're on the air. Turn your radio off.
Okay. Is this Art Bell?
It is. Where are you?
I am in St. Louis.
St. Louis, all right.
And I was wondering if you happened to see there was a show on the A&E, the Arts and Entertainment station last night. In a
Where are the UFOs?
Yes. Did
yes,
you see
I
that?
Saw it. Yes, I did.
I was just wondering if there was anything on there that, you know, like as far as when you're gonna have the debate tomorrow night, you know, I was just wondering do you think that it would be worth, if they have like a thing that you could buy that, do you think it would be worth buying, or do you think the information that was on there was pretty accurate in your opinion, or?
Well, I've got it on tape, and I will give you my opinion. They did, for example, a segment on crop circles. And there have been thousands of crop circles that have appeared across the globe. And they were, in a sense, trying to debunk crop circles as being anything extraterrestrial. And in their effort to do that, they showed Doug and Dave, who literally signed a couple of crop circles in England, D&D, two D's, Doug and Dave. And they did produce some in England, but they have obviously not produced thousands of crop circles all over the world. So I kind of thought that was a disservice and a kind of a cheap shot in trying to explain away crop circles. So that is one example, and that forms some of my attitude about that program. It was good. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Going once.
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Yeah, I just wanted to report on you to you towards about the Twister.
Yes.
Yeah, we've seen it tonight.
And
it's pretty good. It's awe. I was in awe just watching that tornado.
Really?
Usually, I've been hearing a lot of bad things about it, but when I go to a movie, I don't go to pick it apart. I go there being entertained.
That's right.
And it'll entertain you pretty much. I would suggest that you wouldn't watch it, make sure you watch it at a movie while it's there, at a movie house, to watch it on a big screen, because it's amazing.
All right. I probably will take your advice. You're about fourth or fifth person to say that. Thank you very much. My board op up in Oregon is a movie critic. He does, as a matter of fact, during some of the breaks, movie reviews. And he didn't like it. He said, nah, wait, it's not that good. Can't hear the audio. Special effects were okay, but the movie. And I heard a weatherman on CNN allude to the same thing. He didn't quite say all those things, but he said, I'm sorry I spent my money, or I should have gone to see one of the other ones. So I don't know. I might be disappointed. I really did chase those damn things, you know, for real, with Lynn in a stupid Volkswagen. We did that for a long time. Crazy. And so, having done it for real, I might be disappointed, or maybe not. I don't know. I'm trying to make up my mind. To go or not to go, that is the question. Wild Card Line, you're on the air.
Morning, Art. Bill from Youngstown, Ohio.
Hi, Bill.
How are you?
Fine.
Something about a question. I don't know if you'll have time for your listeners to call in tomorrow night, but when a group of us watched the 1968 the moon thing, and one question that we had, and I never heard it brought up, was the question of the horizon on the Earth. As you know, it's 11 miles. And the horizon on the moon, notwithstanding that it's smaller than the Earth, seemed so close at every point that like it could pass the football over it.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no doubt that we went to the moon, but I always thought that what we saw on television was filmed on a water in Area 51, just because of that horizon thing. I don't know if you have an old clip. If you do and get a chance to look at it, see what you think.
Well.
And I think Hoagland's going to mop up Mitchell, I think.
You do, huh?
Well, I've heard almost all of your shows with Hoagland. He's so fluent, and I found Mitchell, as bright as he is, to be a bore.
Really?
I was very interested in what he had to say, but he's kind of mannered, and I don't think he's going to do well with Mr. Hoagland. I like them both, but it's just my opinion.
Well, we'll see.
I'll be listening.
All right, take care. I make no predictions about it. Dr. Mitchell's presentation, a little more laid back than Richard's. That's true. So it depends on how it all comes down. Now, you all know my style, and it is to allow as much as possible a free-flowing debate. Assuming that it remains civilized, I will allow exactly that. I really can't stand presidential debates where each party gets exactly 1 minute or 2 minutes to say what they want to say, and then the other guy goes. And they can't turn around and go at each other. So I'm going to aim for something in between, and I'll control it if it gets out of control, or at least I will try. But otherwise, I will allow them to have at each other as they would like. Now, I think it'll remain, hope it will remain civilized, but I make no predictions. Because on the one hand, you've got a fellow who says there are 20-mile-high glass structures on the moon. And on the other hand, you've got a guy who stood on the moon where they're supposed to be. So that is a debate that may not last very long. I don't know. But it should be electrifying. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
How are you, Art?
Fine. Turn your radio off, sir.
Yeah, I turned it the wrong way. I have an idea about where the chupacabra came from.
Okay.
And that's the, it's coming after Comet to avenge attacking, Comet's attack on the devil's mouthpiece.
I hope not.
Hey, don't think that's possible?
Well, no.
Well, actually, the description of the chupacabra is rather short, with leather skin. Leather-like skin.
Yes.
And,
reptilian.
Reptilian.
Mm-hmm.
And if that Kaczynski guy could turn in his brother, I guess I can turn in my mother-in-law, right?
Is your wife up listening?
Well, no, actually, that's why it's a good idea to turn the radio off when you do this sort of thing, you know.
I see.
Okay, have a good night.
All right, thank you. He's describing his mother-in-law as reptilian-like. Just one little slip. I mean, what if she was sitting in bed with a transistor, listening to that? Recognized his voice. What she would do to you, sir, would make what the chupacabra would do to a person look like nothing. First time caller line, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Rhonda from Anchorage, Alaska.
Good morning, Rhonda.
How are you?
Fine.
My boyfriend lives up in the mountains around Talkeetna, and he had an interesting
theory about La Chupacabra.
Yes.
He thinks it's kind of along the line of the mosquito, which are coming out right now, and they're quite vicious. He thinks they're sucking blood so they can lay thousands of eggs.
Yes, well.
So we may see.
Well, I've seen the mosquitoes in Alaska, and they could be at times mistaken for chupacabras.
Yes, they they are like that sometimes. They're quite frustrating. Well, thanks for answering my call.
All right, take care.
All the time.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Bye. It's true. It's true. I lived in Alaska, and when summer comes, the mosquitoes up in Alaska are really big. I mean, they're really big. Some of them, you wonder how they can even get airborne, the bloated little... Well, I'm going to watch my language. All right, coming up after the top of the hour, this hour, we're going to give you a full, detailed report on the findings with regard to the Roswell material that I have in my possession. Further, no doubt, complicating my life and leaving lots of open questions, of course, exactly as I anticipated. But if you want to know what it is, that report comes next.
The trip back in time continues with Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM. More Somewhere in Time coming up. Listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from May 13th, 1996.
Tomorrow night at this time, if all goes well, Richard Hoagland and Apollo 14 astronaut Dr. Edgar Mitchell will be here in debate. It is not to be missed. I make no promises about it. I have no idea how it's going to turn out. But following my usual manner of allowing freeform radio, I'm going to allow them to have a discussion with each other as much as possible. It should be very informative. Now, in a moment, I am going to replay Linda Howe's report on the scientist who is testing the materials that I received. That's coming up here in just a moment. I want to tell you, I got a call from Keith Rowland, who cares from a web page, is the master of disaster on the web page there. And he tells me that as of this moment, a couple of things are available for you. One is the photographs that Richard Hoagland sent to Dr. Mitchell are now on Richard Hoagland's web page. You get there by going to mine and jumping across to the Hoagland web page. Now, there are two photographs, I'm told, that are up there that you have not seen before. For that matter, I have not seen them because they just got there. So these are the photographs Richard Hoagland FedExed late today, and I hope he gets them in time, to Dr. Mitchell. If you would like to see those photographs and get them before the debate tomorrow night, so you too will be on the page they're on, you can download them now from my website. There you are. Actually, from Richard's website. You jump over. My website is, and there's one other item. What you're about to hear, in fact, all of Linda's report regarding the chupacabras, regarding the 5-foot egg and the real story there, and the report you're about to hear from Linda Moulton Howe, on Art's Parts, I call them. All of that is available in real audio form as of tonight on my webpage as well. So there is a wealth of information up on my webpage. It is www.artbell, no space in there, A-R-T-B-E-L-L, .com. That's www.artbell.com. folks, here it comes. Linda Howe, yesterday on Dreamland, with regard to the materials she's acted as an intermediary for, that claim or alleged to be from the Roswell crash. Here is the preliminary report.
And you got that. You've now had one correspondence that you have put out. You've gotten another. I don't know if you've are going to distribute that publicly, but it comes down to the fact that somebody says that they have had pieces of artifacts from a crash, and they, in the letter it says Roswell. We don't know where. There's no specific coordinates.
All right, if I might, let me stop you and tell everybody the second letter, the one Linda
right.
is now referring to with regard to the Roswell pieces, is now on the Internet. It's under anonymous letters that you see first the photographs of the material, then the first letter, and now the second letter has been added to it as of this moment on my webpage.
Okay.
Linda, if you would, start out.
Yeah.
You've been a middle person for me, and I really want to thank you because getting stuff, something like this, is actually kind of a burden.
It is very difficult, Art, because you now are experiencing what, for the last 16 years, trying to find anybody with very credible professional credentials who would be willing to look at physical tissue
yes.
and samples in the unusual animal deaths was difficult. And now having to deal with artifacts that may have come from a craft from someplace else is also difficult. And we are still experiencing the same syndrome that these professionals ask for and must remain anonymous in order to protect their positions in their work.
All right. How much can you tell us about the scientist? He's well
yes.
credentialed.
Yes, he is.
Who examined this wreckage, possible wreckage.
Yes, and he is in a major Midwestern university. He has been helping me and several other investigators in several aspects of the phenomena for about 7 years. His work is extremely good, well done, and he has been looking at the alleged Roswell UFO crash artifact that you received last month.
All right, can you, before we get to that, tell us what kind of tests were done on the material?
Yes. You gave him 10 pieces, and the 10 pieces broke down into 5 small, what turn out to be, this is very interesting, they are perfect squares. They've been measured, and they are exactly 6 millimeters by 6 millimeters square and less than 1 millimeter thick. And every one of those 5 little squares weighs exactly 160 milligrams each.
How likely is that? Because the pieces I gave you, Linda, were not all shaped the same. I gave you some circles, I think, some
right.
oblongs, and some squares.
That's right. The 5 squares are exactly. perfect squares. And they exactly weigh 160 milligrams each, and they are machined. The edges of each one of those little squares, when they looked at, and this comes to your question, he used an scanning electron microscope, which is used with, the scanning electron microscope is used with the energy dispersive spectroscopy. Now, what this all means, these big words, is that they have the ability now with scanning electron microscope to take something, let's say this is 6 millimeters wide, which is just a little bit over a quarter of an inch.
Mm-hmm.
And they can go down to the surface, and they can keep going down and down. They get down to 1 to 2 microns. And to show you how small that is, if you could take and isolate a single blood cell out of your bloodstream, it would be about 7 microns in diameter, a blood cell. They're going down to 1 to 2 microns, which is about a third the size of a blood cell, to take a look at things on these artifacts that you sent. And when they get to a place that they're interested in, or various places, they then can ratchet change into a particular kind of switch, which is the energy dispersive spectroscopy. And when you find out what you want to measure, and you're on the spot, this will determine exactly what elements are there. Well, when they did this on the five little squares, on the two ellipticals, which also were 6 millimeters wide.
Lynn, I'm going to ask you to hold on for just a moment to Linda Howe and the continuing report on the Roswell materials that I've had in my possession for some time now. Linda, are you there? Yes, I hear you. So we were on the smaller pieces, and you said they weighed 160 grams each.
Yeah, the five. And out of the 10 pieces that you sent, 8 of the 10 had a common denominator of each being 6 millimeters wide. So there were 5 that were perfectly square. There were 2 elliptical that were 6 millimeters by 8 millimeters, and the circle was 6 millimeters in diameter. So 6 millimeter seemed to be a constant, at least in some of these dimensions. Now, on the, we'll call it the very thin blade, it measured exactly 10 inches by 1.5 inches, which the scientists thought was unusual that anything would end up in even inches, which is a terrestrial measurement. That could be that it was sawed off from something that's unknown. He thought that was strange that it should measure so exactly.
Hmm.
And the last piece is the approximately 2 3/8 inches by 1 15/16 inches, not square, almost square. We'll call it the vent. It is this small, very, very thin object with very thin slits throughout it.
Yes.
Now, I'm going to have some other detailed remarks to make about the, we'll call it the blade and the vent. But first, I want to go to a sentence that is from the second communication that you now have out on the computer. And this is from the source who says, Granddad stated their own analysis. He's talking back in that he came in possession of these in 1974 from his grandfather, who got them from the 1947 crash, is what he's alleging. Granddad stated their own analysis of the samples indicated it as pure extract aluminum as a conductor for the electromagnetic fields created in the propulsion system, unquote. Now, we'll stop there for a second. That sentence certainly seemed to hold up when they took the electron dispersive spectroscopy to every single one of the 10 pieces on several parts of them. Now, what they're doing in the EDS, you bombard with electrons, and it knocks out electrons, kind of punches out the electrons. And those electrons have a very characteristic wavelength. They put out an X-ray when they fly out, and that X-ray has a very characteristic wavelength. And then you can tell exactly what the element is.
Okay.
Well, over and over and over again in every one of these, it was, and this is the phrase that is correct to use, greater than 99% aluminum and could not detect any other element. Because scientists are reluctant to say that anything is 100% anything. Because even putting your fingerprints or brushing it on soil can add something which might be picked up at 0.01%, if you understand what I mean.
I do. Now, what does that mean? Now, for example, is there much terrestrial production done in pure aluminum, or is it usually for strength and alloy?
Usually when we're building with aluminum in something, we are putting and adding manganese or other alloys to strengthen. And tomorrow or Tuesday, this scientist is going to be meeting with a metallurgical professional to discuss exactly these issues of aluminum alloys and 100% alloy. And I hope that next Sunday I can have a further update on that. But I want to say that there's something else interesting that showed up in the scanning electron microscope, which gets into this question of whether or not there's anything that could be structural. It's certainly not an alloy, but what they found in one of the five little squares were silicon granules. They were 1 to 2 microns. And they seemed to be embedded in the surface of the aluminum, and on this square, there were striations across it, as if the little square had itself been either scratched or abraded by something, and it raised the speculation, which ranges from, could these pieces have had impact with something that was sandy or dusty, or is there a processing mechanism in the manufacturing of these little pieces that somehow brought a silicon polishing dust to them? We're going to learn a little bit more about that from the metallurgist. And when you come to the, we'll call it the very thin blade. It was less than a millimeter, just extremely thin and light.
Yes.
10 inches long and 1.5 inches wide.
That's right.
On that and on what we're calling the little vent were granules that were different. These turned out to be 10% manganese, 10% iron, and 80% aluminum. I'm talking now only in little granules that seem to somehow be attached or also embedded. Now, what they are or what they mean or whether they are something that was picked up over time, the source said that he's had these since 1974 and they were tarnished and they may have been exposed to other things. That part's hard to know. Well, a question still hanging is, even if they are all aluminum on the outside, could there be any structural detail on the inside? Well, tonight, just before we went on the air, the scientist called me. He was in the lab. He had, with your permission, Art, he had cut into one of the little five squares that
yes.
we talked about.
Yes.
And he said it was pure silver, shiny, appeared to have no other structural details, and at this point it appears that though that at least is just aluminum, 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 aluminum. And as he said to me, in this universe, where as far as we look, when we look at all of the elements and we look at the stars and the galaxies, we keep seeing the same spectrums of the same elements. So if it is aluminum and aluminum and aluminum over and over and over again, what we do not know is function. We know we have aluminum on this planet. There must be aluminum throughout the universe and other places. But what are the function of these? And to this date, there is nothing about any of this that to the scientist or even some of the people he has worked with and they have discussed, there is nothing that even indicates any kind of function from these pieces at this point.
In other words, no earthly use they can discern.
Not at this point. And the other question comes back to this source's strange sentence about used as a conductor for the electromagnetic fields created in the propulsion system. Well, aluminum might conduct some electricity, but what would the relationship be specifically to an electromagnetic field? We're also going to talk with the metallurgist and some other people about that.
Answer is, of course, it's not magnetic. Aluminum is not magnetic.
That's right. So by next weekend, we may have a little bit more, at least professional information about some of these questions. But at this point, Art, there is nothing that we can say that would confirm or deny that they are, in fact, extraterrestrial, other dimensional, time travel, or anything. It's aluminum, aluminum, aluminum in shapes that appear to have definitely been machined. Could they have been machined on the Earth? I am assuming definitely in this day and age they could have been 1947. Could that be a source? We do not know, and all we've got to go by at this point are this man's two letters.
All right, and there is some chance that they impacted on something.
Well, it's speculation about the silicon granules in one of the five little squares. It could also be a manufacturing process, and these are the kinds of things that are very difficult for us to know beyond the fact that we've got these two letters from this man claiming that these are artifacts from a crash. Now, I think it's also important to point out that Jesse Marcel Jr., who saw some of this material at his father's, that his father brought home to the kitchen in 1947 July, described completely different types of material.
A type of crinkly thing that would regain its shape.
And he said, he told me in that interview that he never personally crinkled them up. His father told him that.
I see.
He never did it himself. but he said that he did handle the material he saw for himself, those fuchsia-colored symbols in these little 3/8 of an inch wide little beams that were so light and have been compared in other research to balsa wood, looking like sort of a silvery, coppery color, but being compared to balsa wood. Again, all of that is quite different from this aluminum.
So, we have something interesting on our hands.
Interesting indeed, but we have more questions than we have answers. But we at least have been able to say it is aluminum.
Right.
And that's what this man said in his letters before we
did
any of these tests.
Yes, he did. So, who knows? Well, I guess I just go on suffering the unknown, but at least we've got a preliminary report.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from May 13th, 1996. Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from the 13th of May, 1996.
Well, I promised you that report. There it is. As many questions, more questions than answers. And still I have this stuff. So we'll see. We'll see what the follow-up report produces. All right, everybody, a couple of items. One is I was wrong. There are not two new photographs on the webpage from Richard Hoagland. There are five new photographs. And these are the ones that are going to be spent, or actually have already been sent, to Dr. Mitchell as of late today. We hope they'll make it in time. So if you would like to see the new Richard Hoagland photographs, you go to my webpage and jump over to his. Now, my webpage is very, very busy. It's taking on the order of, I was just told, about 100,000 hits a day. 100,000 hits a day. And I can almost hear it slowing as we speak. But I would recommend sometime between now and airtime tomorrow night, you get up there, if you're able, and download the new photographs. They are the ones that Richard Hoagland will have, and hopefully Dr. Mitchell will have as well. So there you are. There is the report on the materials, preliminary, and there is the information on the debate for tomorrow night and the new photographs. Linda's report, the one you just heard, is on my webpage as an audio file, a real audio file, along with the report on the Chupacabras. So if you want to go up to my webpage, it's Art Bell, www.artbell.com, www.artbell.com. Otherwise, I am now in the chat room on AOL. I'll tell you how to get there. There's a new, easier way to get there. You go on AOL, go to keyword, and just put in Art Bell, and it'll take you right over there. So now I'm a keyword on AOL. You just go in and check keyword and type in Art Bell without a space, A-R-T-B-E-L-L, and it will take you right into the Periscope room, and you'll see the chat box right there. So it's easier than ever, folks. And I'm online right now. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello. Art, I heard that, from my past, I'm from New Jersey originally. My name's Don. I live in Boise, Idaho.
Yes, sir.
In New Jersey, there used to be a thing called the New Jersey Devil.
That's right.
Have you ever heard of that?
Oh, yes.
Have you guys been talking about him?
No, not really. La Chupacabra seems to have come from the South, beginning in Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
It may be similar to the Jersey Devil. Many people have mentioned it.
Oh, I didn't know if anybody else had brought that up. Okay, well, thanks.
All right, you're welcome. Thank you very much for the call. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes. Hi, Art. Steve from South Dakota.
Hi, Steve.
I've been listening to your show tonight, and, you know, so far it's 2-1 against Richard Hoagland, so I'd sort of like to even up the vote a little bit and make it 2-2.
All right.
I think Richard Hoagland can and will hold his own.
Well, I, as a debater, Richard will always hold his own. That's my view. I mean, he is, he's very articulate. There's no question about it, so.
I think that the debate won't really be settled till we go back to the moon. I've been a skeptic all my life until I bought his Ohio State, presentation.
Yes.
And I saw the photos in a, video format, and they're very, very convincing.
They are, if it is explained to you. Now, when people go up on the internet and they simply download photographs, they don't know what they're seeing, and many times it's pixelish, and if there's nobody there to explain, as there was in that presentation, then they go, I don't know what the hell I'm seeing. And so it is important that you get the explanation that goes with the photographs, which you don't get, but we make them available anyway.
Well, I really appreciate that too, Art.
Well, I hope you enjoy tomorrow night.
Thank you, sir.
Take care. It's an unknown quantity. I mean, that's what makes it interesting, and I, you know me, I usually stand back, whether it's Hoagland or whether it's Mitchell, and I let these men say what they want. Tomorrow night is not going to be an exception. This is not a presidential debate. I'm going to let them question each other, and we'll just hope upon hope that it will be reasonable and that I don't have to step in to stop a catfight. But I do not expect that. What I expect is a reasoned, scientific, hopefully a discussion of the issues, and they are, of course, diametrically opposed in what they believe. First time caller line, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you doing?
Okay.
This is Mike from L.A.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, have you heard any reports of the Chupacabra being in L.A.?
Yes.
Fillmore, California?
Yes.
Oh, man. That's where I'm calling from.
Oh, it is?
Oh, yeah.
Do you go out at night?
Well, I'm working right now.
You know, it would bother me walking around in the dark in an area where the goat sucker had been seen. I don't think I would. I really don't think I would.
I work at a campground out here, and it's pretty out in the mountains, in the foothill mountains of Santa Clarita and Sylmar. It's probably like 2 miles, Sylmar is, so.
I mean, look, you could have a 12-gauge loaded with double-aught at your side, and a creature that can go 60, 70 miles an hour would be on you before you could raise it.
Do they say it has almost like a reptile look to it?
Mm-hmm. That thing would eat you up and drink you down like a person coming off the desert gulping down a Pepsi, sir, before you could raise that shotgun. That'd be it. It's awful. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. Let me get on a better phone.
All right.
Art, my name is Lauren, and I'm from Bakersfield.
Yes, sir.
And I've kind of made a list of things, I wanted to say. Wait a minute.
What am I waiting for? Turn your radio off, please.
That's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, hang on a second.
Okay, now I can't wait much longer, so.
Okay, Art?
Yes.
Okay, I called the other night, and I want to apologize for not saying who I was or where I was from, but it's kind of scary to be on the radio.
Well, just give it your best shot, sir. Go ahead and say what you want to say.
Okay, as far as the UFOs and the Roswell incident and stuff, I've watched stuff on the radio or on the TV, and I believe that there are UFOs that have come to visit us, and that I don't want them to land.
Why do you believe that?
Well, that's a good question. Because of the like you said, the Roswell incident or the other sightings, the Betty Hill incidents where she's been taken up numerous times.
Okay, well, I appreciate the call, sir, but none of that does it for me. It may surprise all of you to know that despite my intimate involvement with all of this, I would not say I believe. I've seen something I can't explain. Personally, close up. But I wouldn't say I believe. I would say I am interested, I'm fascinated, it may well be, but I don't have any absolute evidence. None. So I am intrigued, and I will continue to pursue this topic, hoping for some smoking gun or whatever you want to call it. But in terms of I believe, I couldn't say that. Does that surprise you? I know it will many. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello.
Speak.
I just wanted to make a comment about the...
Yes? He hung up. Brain lock. Did you hear that? Absolute brain lock. I just wanted to make a comment about... Silence. Click. Total brain gridlock. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, Art. This is Dave from California.
Hi, Dave.
Hi. I wanted to ask you about that guy, Wayne Green.
Yes?
That's not the guy you said you had a lot of respect for. He used to be in radio or something. Is that Ray Breen?
No, it's not Ray Breen.
I was trying
to... Wayne Green is the editor of 73 Magazine,
right,
and Byte and a lot of other magazines.
Right, and Ray Breen is the guy that...
Ray Breen is a gentleman who used to be on KABC prior to Ira Fistel and then myself.
And then didn't he get back into radio as a result of one of your calls or something, or conversations?
Well, I had Ray on as a guest, and early on when we went on KABC, and I asked him, don't you miss it?
Right.
And he said yes. I said, well, then why don't you think about doing a program from home? And he said, you know, that's a really good idea. And as it turned out, that is exactly what he's doing.
Oh, good. Anyway, about this other guy, Wayne Green.
Yes.
That says we never got to the moon.
Right.
One of his points was that, or his reasons was that the footprints were too distinct. They showed moisture content in the dust.
That's correct, yes.
That supposedly wouldn't be there.
Yes.
Well, I was thinking the reason that the dust didn't fall back into the footprint is because the gravity on the moon, which would cause the dust or the sand on the beach on the Earth to fall back into footprint, isn't strong enough to pull the moon dust back into the footprint.
Well, that may well be. That's as good a theory as any. There is, however, gravity there. And given the fact that the granules are round, and would tend to fill back up again. Even a small amount of gravity, it seems to me, should have done that. But I'm no expert in the area. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
How you doing, Art? This is New Orleans. I just like to tell you two things. One thing, if people want to talk about politics, a good question to ask is ask an American what your vision is of America. That would be my first point. And then the second point is, when the astronauts were going around in orbit around the Earth, there were some beautiful, spectacular lightning storms. Okay, we would assume they were lightning from their point of view. But if I was an alien and I was cruising around Earth's orbit, I would want to investigate that.
Thunderstorms?
Huh?
Thunderstorms?
No, lightning storms.
Yeah, thunder, lightning storms, all right, same thing. I don't know why. I would think that... They would be familiar with atmospheric disturbance because it occurs on many, many, many planets. It's not that unusual. So I don't know that that would necessarily attract them. The one thing that might, though, is the distinctive nature of Earth. It is blue. It is green. It obviously is inhabited. Even from a distance, one would be able to discern that. So that would make it certainly of interest. I don't know the lightning storms would be the main attraction. With regard to what people's vision for America is, that's a very good question. What is your vision for America? Bob Dole is accused of not having one, just wanting to become president. God, I'd like to interview Bob Dole. He really should come on this program. Bob Dole needs to be humanized. The American people really need a sit-down conversation with Bob Dole. Not a meet-the-press kind of interview, But just who are you, Bob Dole? Hey, what do you believe? What do you want for America? That kind of conversation. I have invited him on the program. I've talked to his campaign headquarters, and we've got a request in. We'll see. That is the kind of interview that I could give him, and that's exactly what he needs if he is to have any chance at all. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Yes, how you doing, Art?
I'm fine.
Yeah, I'd like to talk about that chimichanga.
You mean chupacabra?
Chupacabra, yeah, there you go. I can't pronounce it very well.
No, there you go. Anyway, go ahead.
I like to say I don't really believe in it.
Okay.
I think people are paranoid.
You do, huh?
Yes, I do. It's like the Bigfoot thing.
But how could the reports be coming from first Puerto Rico for years, then South America, Central America, and now the U.S.? I mean, you could think that it would happen in a localized way, but this is fairly international at this point.
I'm not doubting maybe something happened down in, what was that other country you're talking about?
Puerto Rico?
Puerto Rico, yeah. But as fast as it's grown, I think it's more hysteria than anything.
Yeah, but I have seen, sir, I doubt with you, all right? I doubt many things until I know them for sure. It is proper, I think, that people do that, or at least that I do it. I am very cautious. However, I watched a two-hour report on Mexican television. I don't speak Spanish. I don't speak it. But I watched almost 2 hours the other day. And even without the language barrier, they showed literally hundreds of animals with puncture marks in their neck. What the hell does that? And with the blood sucked from their bodies. I saw these animals. I saw the postmortems that they were doing on the animals. And this is not a myth. It's real. I guarantee you these animals have been violated, killed, had the blood taken from their bodies with two distinctive marks in their neck. This is not some urban myth. I saw hundreds of animals. So you can say what you want about it, but there is something obviously to it all. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. This is Kevin from Oklahoma City.
Yes, Kevin.
I have a theory about where it came from, the chupacabra.
Okay.
The flash burning down in Brazil of the rainforest.
Yes, I had a fax about that earlier, that we finally burned into something's habitat that is now very angry.
And there's also a myth of a creature down in that area called Quetzalcoatl, which is a flying lizard.
Yes.
Or flying snake, which could be related to it.
It's entirely possible.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Art.
Thank you, sir. Take care. Who knows what it is? I don't, but I have a sufficient number of reports from literally all over the hemisphere now, and I've seen these animals, and I'm telling you, there is, in fact, something. Believe what you want to believe, but I know of no animal that leaves two marks and takes the blood from bodies. Do you? I think not. There are bats, but they would never do what this does, and it has been explained that bats actually bite into the neck, and then, I know it's gross, but lap up the blood. They don't actually take the blood from the body. There is something new out there, and it's awful. Wildcard line, you're on the air.
Oh, I'm sorry. I wanted the Antichrist line.
Oh, you got it.
Well, give me the voice, man.
No.
Oh, okay.
I reserve that for very special people.
All right. Hey, this is Rittmeister Gerhardt in Oakland, California. Yeah, I know what that is. You know what it is? Urban myth.
No, urban myth does not do what has been done to hundreds of animals.
Well, all you saw was dead animals with two marks on their neck.
Well, no, that's not all I saw. That's not all I saw, Rittmeister. I saw the actual... postmortems done on these animals.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think a more pertinent and more realistic topic would be how the blood is being sucked out of the American Constitution by these socialist one-worlders and gun-grabbers who happen to be in the White House right now. Bill Clinton thinks it's more important to send American troops to die in Bosnia and Haiti and Somalia than he does to think it is to guard our own borders. You know, I'd say U.S. out of Haiti, U.S. out of Bosnia, and smash the U.N. Smash it totally and completely. It has no right to exist. We have no need of the United Nations. All it is a big welfare handout to the mud hut countries of the world who expect American soldiers to come to their countries in silly little blue helmets to put out their little atrocity wars. No, we have got to... Art, hey, I can't wait until Paula Jones gives her testimony. That is going to be just absolutely juicy. Wait until you see what happens to Bill Clinton's so-called poll ratings when that happens. We believe you, Paula Jones. Just like the bumper stickers for Anita that we see in all the Nazi cars, you know what I mean?
All right, well, I guess I would have to conclude from that is not a Bill Clinton voter you just listened to. On that note, we'll break here at the top of the hour.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time. Somewhere in Time with Art Bell continues, courtesy of Premier Networks.
Morning, everybody. Good to be here. From Vance, an interesting facts. Art, after hearing the replay of Linda's report on the little pieces allegedly from a Roswell crash, an idea of what they might possibly be occurred to me. In chemistry and chemical engineering, it is often necessary to have supplies of very pure materials in measured quantities. Perhaps the little pieces were actually manufactured to be a convenient measure of pure aluminum for use in chemical reactions, either as a catalyst or as an actual participant in a chemical reaction. This would explain why the pieces have such a consistent weight and high degree of purity. Well, it might explain that, but it would not explain the pieces that I call the louvers, which are obviously manufactured, but for a completely not discernible purpose, as you heard. So it would not explain those, and it would not explain the piece that I have not yet sent in for analysis that seems to have grooves in it. Pretty thick piece, too. I was afraid to send that because it is the only one that I have that is like that. It was one of a kind. So I don't know. Whole thing is still up in the air, but I would say the report is certainly interesting. All right, here are a couple of faxes that bear reading. All right. Over the weekend, I was home in Douglas, Arizona, which is in deep south Arizona, right near the border. While there, I saw a feature on the Spanish station, Galavision, I believe it was, on the Chupacabra. It showed over 200 animals killed, their blood sucked out. It even showed a woman who had fought off a Chupacabra, yes, I've got that news, with scratches on her neck on the right side where it tried to get at her carotid artery. She said it had fangs, a long tail, was about 30 inches high, with wings. So there you have it. I, too, saw about a two-hour special, and I'm telling you right now, whatever it is you want to believe this thing is or isn't, It is out there. Believe me, it's out there. I've seen the animals. I've seen the autopsies performed. And it's showing up all over the place now. So I don't care what you want to believe about it. It is not a myth. Something is really doing this, something awful. Then this, Art, I spoke to Dr. Mitchell Sunday night on a show that he was being interviewed on. He'd stated that Saturday night he'd been at a meeting in Florida with Alan Shepard, Buzz Aldrin, and what he said was a group of other guys. He had denied seeing anything on the moon. When I asked him directly, however, he said he could only speak for himself. He told me that on the phone the other day. Then he ends up by saying, this was Brian in Denver, Hoagland's work rides on this debate. Well, I suppose in some ways it may, in the minds of many who will be listening, that may be so. But Dr. Mitchell said the same thing to me. He could only speak for himself. Therefore, the photographs sent to Dr. Mitchell by Hoagland are specifically of the Apollo 14 mission. And naturally, he cannot speak for the other astronauts. So the photographs, there are five new ones on the webpage. You're welcome to go get them. Are specifically of Apollo 14. So that is where the discussion will properly center. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Good morning, Art.
Good morning.
This is Jose in St. Louis, Missouri, KSDAM territory.
Of course.
A question on the lips of many ham operators is, will Art Bell be at Dayton?
No.
Probably not.
No. Art Bell does a broadcast, sir, 6 days a week.
But you ought to do it from Dayton.
Well, it's not as easy as you might think.
Probably not. It would probably entail a phone line and remotes and all kinds of other stuff.
Yep.
It's too bad. I think it'd be fun to see you there.
I'd love to be at Dayton. It's a ham fest, folks.
It's a large ham fest. It's like, how many, like 50,000 hams in one place at one time?
Oh, yeah. It's a mob.
There's more radio signals coming out of that place than NASA, probably.
But
I hope to be there for the first time, and I'm, a friend of mine had made a reservation and has an extra room that I'm going to get to use. If I get somebody to drive me up there, I'll trade. Can I say this on the air that anybody in the St. Louis area is going up there?
Yeah, but I can't allow you to give a phone number out.
No, I won't. I was going to give a repeater out.
No, I can't let you do that.
Can't do that.
No,
okay.
I can't let you put your call on the air, but I can let you reference the repeater.
Oh, okay.
So okay. Your call letter, you see, would obviously give away your address.
I'm not good in the book anymore, but you're right.
Yeah, I am.
I know you are. Okay, listen, have a fantastic day. The 6-1 repeater, if anybody needs a room in Dayton, I can trade one out for a ride.
All right, there you are. The 6-1 repeater in St. Louis. First time caller line, you're on the air.
Yes, Art.
Hello.
Yeah, Art?
Yes.
Yeah. Listen.
I'm listening.
I live in Redding, California.
Okay.
And this afternoon, about 2 o'clock, I was sitting at my dining room table. I was watching the birds drinking the water out through the front room window.
Yes.
And I spotted something black in the sky.
Yes.
And I opened the door, walked out on the deck, and it was a clear sight. And it was pure black, a round black object. And just before I had left the front room to go outside, it looked like it had tilted a little bit, and I could see it was real shiny on top, silver shiny. But when I got out there, all I saw was this black, round object. And it was cumulus clouds, overcast a little bit, and sunny. And I turn around to walk towards the edge of the deck to take a different angle, looking up, and it had gone, completely disappeared. And it had gone, it was going very, very gently through the sky. Not fast, not real slow, but just meandering, just easy.
So what is it you think you saw?
Well, probably, I don't know. I don't know what it was.
Maybe it was a chupacabra. Flying. Did you look for wings? You know, we had a we're to begin seeing these creatures now, if there is as much activity as we're hearing about. I mean, hundreds and hundreds. They've got traps laid in Mexico. Sinaloa State, they're laying traps. So we may get to see one of these creatures pretty soon. That would wipe the smile off a few faces, wouldn't it? East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Going once, gone. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm calling from L.A.
Yes, sir.
Rick, I would just like to plug that IDT that you're advertising.
IDT, yes.
On the Internet.
Yes, sir.
I have that, and I wouldn't recommend it to very many married couples.
Why is that?
I no longer go to bed.
Huh? Yeah, listen, IDT is really, really a good deal. If you want to be on the Internet, it's an obvious, very economical way to do it.
It's nice to know you'd have to pay for the every hour.
That's right. It's just a flat rate. You'd be on there as much as you want.
Exactly.
It's a great deal.
Also, if I may, the Chupacabra, that was described as like a dinosaur body. Or a kangaroo.
Well, a reptilian.
Reptilian.
Mm-hmm.
Not purple, is it?
No.
Oh, that's good. I was thinking maybe it was that dinosaur on television the kids watch. And
or it might be a purple people eater.
That's true.
You got to be old enough to remember that. Ooh, ee, ooh, ah, ah, ting, tang, walla, walla, bing, bang. Remember that? First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Yeah, Art, I just want to tell you, you're doing a great job on the air there.
Well, thank you.
This is Wayne from Houston.
Yes, Wayne.
I had I listened in a little bit earlier and I lost the station and went off the air. I'm trying to tune in on another station, but what I wanted to say is the Chupacabra.
Yes.
It's been sighted down here in Donna, Texas.
Yes, I've got the story. I've heard that. And so all along the border states, Texas, Arizona, California, I don't know about New Mexico yet, but all the border states so far, with the possible exception of New Mexico, have now had Chupacabra problems.
Right. Yeah, I wanted to say one other thing. I'm a firm believer in the existence of other intelligence in the universe, but I got a little problem when it comes to people that say they've been abducted. Like multiple times.
Yes.
How come they can't, like, how come they don't set a camera up, you know, to try to catch it on camera?
Well, they have tried that, and in every instance, thank you, that I've heard of, the person themselves, in their sleep or in a trance, gets up, turns the damn thing off. Or it simply doesn't come on that night. But I understand. Matter of fact, they've tried video cameras as a prevention for abduction. And generally, it does not work. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello. Bill?
Yes, that's me.
Oh, hi. Listen, I was calling about Gordon Michael Scallion's new map.
His, oh, new map, the world map, yes.
Right. When is that going to be available?
I presume it is available from Gordon now.
Oh. Okay. Do I just get it through the webpage?
No. No, you would have to contact Gordon Michael Scallion.
Oh, okay.
Directly,
okay.
All right?
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. It is a copyrighted affair, and we're not going to be posting it. I've got it, though. God, it's beautiful. It is gigantic. It's like 4 or 5 feet long. It's by 4 or 5 feet. I mean, it's really, really big and encased in plastic and really beautiful. I've got a very special place for it. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Right. I've got a couple of things to talk about if you've got time.
But go.
I'm interested in this Chupacabra thing that seems to have sprung up all of a sudden.
Yes.
Have you looked into the possibility that the reports are not confined just to this hemisphere?
No, I have not heard any reports that have come from another hemisphere, if that's what you're asking.
Yeah, I'm thinking that maybe there might be something to the same effect in the Eastern Hemisphere, because it reminds me of the Hindu legends of the Rakshasa,
mm-hmm.
which is a demon or devil who occasionally comes to Earth from hell and other regions to see if we are decadent and corrupt enough that the hellish entities can take over.
Well, if it's going to eat or suck the blood from the evil and corrupt, then it's going to be very bloated.
Well, I'm thinking that this animal, if it exists as an animal, might be responsible for this legend. Or on the other hand, you know,
well, it might, sir. But with the attention being paid to it right now, I assure you, if there were things going on anywhere in the Far East, we'd be hearing about it.
I'm just wondering about that. If you haven't heard about it because we just haven't looked into it. But I did want to comment on the number of fellows that called earlier said they were fed up with government and didn't make any difference. I think that the reason government has become so unresponsive to the people, and in some cases the candidates seem to be so similar, is because that the people have abrogated responsibility to a large extent and their involvement. And I think that, you know, there's sort of a horse race mentality when it comes to voting. People want to vote for the candidate they think will win instead of voting for the candidate they want, which is the idea of a republic and a democracy.
Mm-hmm.
And that if you are unhappy with your candidates, then at least go cast a blank ballot. Let them know that you are out there and that you are unhappy.
All right. I'm going to disagree with you a little bit. The American people got what they wanted. Now, that doesn't mean that you got what you wanted. All right? This is going to be my political comment for the night. Bob Dole is not the nominee by accident. He's the nominee, folks, because he swept the primaries. The American people rejected extremism in the form of Pat Buchanan. Whether real or perceived, that's what they rejected. Now, I know that's not going to go down well with a lot of you, but that's exactly what happened, like it or not. The American people perceived or thought of Pat Buchanan as extreme. Even Bill Clinton is having to run to the middle. He's having to co-opt a lot of rather conservative ideas and ideology in order to try to get elected. And the perception is that he is doing that. I'm not saying what a lot of you want to hear. I'm telling you what I know to be true. Elections are held in the middle, not at the fringes. The interest for talk callers and people who are into politics and political junkies, the interest is going to be at the fringes, both on the left and the right. And so the candidate of the heart is Pat Buchanan on the right. The candidate of the heart on the left certainly is not Bill Clinton. If you talk to most liberals, Bill Clinton is wishy-washy. Bill Clinton is not a real liberal. Bill Clinton holds his finger up and goes the way the wind is going, and that is Bill Clinton. Nevertheless, the American people picked Bob Dole. The American people have picked Bill Clinton. In all likelihood, Bill Clinton is going to win the election, and he is going to do that by co-opting a lot of the conservative ideology that he knows is what generally is felt in America. But it's the middle. It's not the far right. It's not the far left. It's the middle. That's where elections are won or lost. Actually won. So that may not go down or may be hard going down, but it is the truth. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Oh, hi, Art. Andy from Eugene, Oregon.
Yes, Andy.
Yeah, well, I want to, you know, give my pitch for what I think is wrong with our political system and why we feel like we have so little to choose from.
Sure.
And, well, that's because neither party's really addressed what they promised to address, and that's campaign reform. You know, as long as we keep having this elite, you know, it's like access. Only the elite parties are the only ones that seem to have access to the political process. And I think that has part to do with what people are upset about and feel apathetic.
Yeah, but it goes back to what I just said a few minutes ago, sir.
Yeah.
Elections are one in the middle. All right.
Yeah.
All the interest is at the edges because people are sick of the same old thing, or at least those who are politically active are. But by and large, the American public, more people than not, are rather satisfied with the way things are going. You know, it's America. It's fairly free. Most people have a job. The economy is kind of roaring along. Things are basically all right. Crime problems, all the rest of it. But no life and death kind of issues. And so it's going to be an election in the middle.
Right, right. Can I make one more point, Art?
Sure.
The thing about the contract with America, and I'd kind of like your input on this. I'm, you know, some things I agree with you on, and others, you know, I'm just not quite sure. But this contract with America, and correct me if I'm wrong, isn't it that when the Republicans got voted in 94, wasn't it with only around 30% of the voters? And when you make a contract with America, a contract is a two-way thing. It's not just somebody coming in with an agenda that, you know, is produced by a minority or a third of 100%. You know, it's
well, if that's the standard, then Bill Clinton should not be paid attention to, because I believe he won with 43%,
right,
didn't he?
Right, right. But okay, I'm just saying, in regards to this contract with America and this idea of having starts with an M, a mandate. I don't really know that the Republicans really had the mandate that they thought they had.
Well, if Bill Clinton can claim a mandate, then the Republicans in the elections of 94 can claim, and did claim, rightfully so, a mandate. Just because an election is swung with less than half of the vote doesn't mean there's no mandate. The number of House and Senate seats that were gained could be argued to be a mandate. All right, we're going to break here at the bottom of the hour. Don't forget, tomorrow night at 1 a.m. Pacific Time, 4 a.m. Eastern Time, the Hoagland-Mitchell debate. That should be something.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time. Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from May 13, 1996.
Top of the morning, everybody. Good to be with you. With respect to the report by Linda Howe on the scientific tests on Art's parts, go back and read the letters on the internet, on my webpage. They will, of course, also be published in our newsletter with photographs of the parts. By the way, that'll be in the next newsletter. Just thought you ought to know that. High-quality photographs that I took of them. And I want to tell you something. Go back and read the letters. If you read the letters, you will see that the person who sent the materials claimed that his grandfather indeed said they would turn out to be tested as pure extract aluminum. That is exactly the test that came back. Now, I have no way of knowing. That doesn't validate these materials as being from anywhere else or anything else. It doesn't do any of that. It simply validates what was written in the letters prior to the testing. It doesn't mean these are extraterrestrial. It doesn't mean anything at all. It simply means the man had the correct information in the letter. But do, by all means, go back now and reread with the testing in mind. Reread the letters that are posted on the internet that have been there now for some time. Read those carefully, both of them. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Yes, what was the number for IDT again?
The number for IDT, I'm going to have to dig it out for you.
Yeah, I obviously wrote down the wrong number because they said they're not working at this time.
Really?
Yeah.
Let me see here.
I've got 438-0060.
All right. It's 438-0060, 1-800-438-0060.
Right. They told me in the past that they're not in Nevada, so you really startled me when you said it was you had it down there.
I do have. I'm using it here, yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, we'll keep trying.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care. So there you are. 1-800-438-0060. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Yes, hi.
Hello.
Hi, this is Sean from Liberal.
Yes, sir.
I just want to say I love your show. You're so cool.
Well, thank you.
And something I just heard on the news.
What?
They said that another 18-month-old baby got killed by a 10-year-old babysitter.
What?
The 10-year-old babysitter is charged for it, getting charged for it.
Where was this?
I didn't actually hear that.
All right, I'll check into it. Thank you for the report. An 18-month-old killed by a 10-year-old babysitter. Well, lots of questions there. What the hell is a 10-year-old doing babysitting an 18-month-old in the first place? But the bigger question is, why are our children killing our children? Man, oh man, oh man. Well, I'll just hope that one is not true. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Good morning, Art. This is Chris from Peoria.
Hi, Chris.
Just wanted to thank you for keeping me interested tonight at work.
Thank you.
Keeping me up all night. I wanted to make a comment about that little news piece. I can't remember the gentleman's name, about that we might not ever have stepped on the moon.
Right.
Okay. Do you remember, you probably already, somebody has already brought this to your attention. You remember that movie?
Capricorn 1.
There you go, with James Brolin.
Yes.
Doesn't that kind of, that's strange. It just, every time something like that happens, it seems like there's been a book written about it. You know, something of to this nature, and it seems like somebody has already, like, stumbled upon it.
Well, we will forever, sir, argue about mankind's great achievements, and there will always be those. I mean, there are still people today who say the Earth is flat.
Yeah.
Right? An entire society that believes that.
It's true. That is true. It just, I was just very, when I heard that, and then I remember that movie. Because
it's kind of like, it's one of those things where you simply cannot please all the people all the time. I have learned that, and I live with it. No matter what I do with interviews, when I interview somebody, there's critics out there. Well, you did this wrong, you did that wrong, you should have done this, should have done that. If I bring Hoagland and Mitchell together, they say, oh, it's all set up. You know,
I don't believe that.
Well, a lot of people do. So it doesn't matter what you do or what the debate is about. If it's controversial, there will be people who will think it's all a big setup.
Yeah.
No matter what.
Well, you're right. Well, that's all I had to say. I just wanted to make a comment about that.
Appreciate your call. Thank you. I've learned that over a period of time. And there will be criticism no matter what you do. So you just, you know, you ignore it and plow ahead and do what you do. Back to it we go, and to the first-time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Oh, hallelujah. I finally got through.
Yes, sir, you did.
I've only been trying for about 2 or 3 months since I started listening to you.
Well, I'm glad you made it.
Well, thank you. How are you doing this morning, Art?
Fine.
How's Comet Kitty?
Getting better by the day.
That's good. I hope you had him checked for feline leukemia when you got him.
Oh, we did better than that.
Oh, good. My wife and I picked up a stray kitty where I used to work up at the local state hospital.
No, that's the first thing we did, sir, and then he has already begun the shots.
Oh, good, good, so. Good. Yeah, because we picked up a stray kitty, and unfortunately she tested positive. But the doctor said she's very healthy and she's putting on weight, so we shouldn't have to worry as long as she gets past her first year. By the way, this is Charlie. I'm in Phoenix. And it was just a couple of things I wanted to mention. You mentioned about Bill Clinton being a compromiser, and I agree he is a compromiser. I think 1960s style liberalism is a dead horse. quite frankly.
Well, so does he. And that's why he's going to be so hard to beat. He's like a moving target.
Yeah.
He will move wherever he needs to go to win.
Yeah, but the problem is, the problem I have with the Republicans in Congress is they want all the compromising from him, and they don't want to budge an inch.
No, that's exactly right, sir. Thank you very much for the call. And going to my international line, you are on the air. Where are you calling from, please?
St. Petersburg, Russia, Art.
What are you doing in St. Petersburg?
Over here on business and pleasure.
I see. Well, I'm going to St. Petersburg later this summer, and I understand that they're doing a lot of work there, and it's really beautiful. Is that so?
It's a beautiful city. They're doing a lot of refurbishing, a lot of activity going on in construction. It's not their new construction as much as it is refurbishing of old buildings.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm looking forward to that, and I'm also filling out my visa now to go on ahead and go into Moscow because I want to see it. I understand it's a little rough, but I do want to see it.
Moscow is very interesting. I would recommend going in through St. Petersburg. It's much easier to come in through Petersburg than Moscow.
Exactly, and that's what we're going to do. We'll pull in, the ship I'm going to be on is going to pull into St. Petersburg, and we're going to take flight to Moscow from there.
Oh, wonderful. You'll love it.
At any rate, so you're over there on a combination of business and pleasure, is that correct?
Yes.
Where are you from in the States?
San Diego, California.
San Diego. All right. Well,
yeah.
Everybody's listening to you at home.
Okay, great. Well, it's good to hear your voice. I listen to you all the time when I'm in Southern California.
What?
Do you have the frequency where I can reach you here?
No, not yet. Not yet, sir, but it's coming quickly.
All right.
All right.
I'll look forward to hearing you again when I get back in the States back in July or August.
Hey, listen, let me ask you a question. What time is it in St. Petersburg right now?
It's 2:45.
I would take it in the afternoon.
Yes.
All right, my friend. Thank you very, very much.
You're welcome, Mark.
Take care. There's St. Petersburg, Rush, 2:45. 2:45, wow. So there's, 11 hours difference. 11 hours difference to St. Petersburg. Yikes. That'll be interesting. So, in other words, with an appropriate satellite hookup, and I'm not making any promises, but, I don't want to say anything about that yet. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Listen, I'm calling, it's probably rather anticlimactic. I have two small issues for you. First, about the chupacabra.
Mm-hmm.
Since I was just a poor Caucasian soul from the Midwest, I heard about it the first time in your program. And the other day at the next day at work, I work with a large Latino population at work, and I mentioned if anyone had heard of a thing called a chupacabra. Well, it was like plugging in a Christmas tree, Art.
I bet.
I got enough information to essentially write a term paper about it.
I know. A lot of people think it's myth and baloney that I'm dishing out. It's not. It's real.
Well, the interesting thing was I mentioned none of the information given on your show about the two, well, let's call them authorities that were speaking that night. And the stories and the information I heard paralleled directly all the information that was given on your show.
Yes, I know. It's real. It's just that we tend on this program to be a little ahead of most of the curve of the rest of the media. So we're always accused of being crazy. But that's all right. That's what we do here.
Well, I will say I was skeptical, but since that day, I am no longer a skeptic on this.
Uh-huh.
Lastly and secondly, I noticed you have the advertisement for a stuttering help program on your show. And were you or have you ever been a stutterer yourself, or do you know someone that would?
No, we don't really have that advertisement here. What affiliate do you listen to?
I listen to a couple. I listen to KABC and KOGO in Southern California.
All right. Well, one of those stations, I'm sure, is running that as a local ad.
Well, the reason I ask is that since you are such a well-articulated orator, most people who were bad stutterers from birth or whatnot, I went through 9 years of speech therapy myself as a child, since I could not put two words together at one point.
Mm-hmm.
But people like James Earl Jones, for instance, is an excellent example. He was a terrible stutterer as a child and now is one of the best-known voices in well, entertainment, if you will, today, and I thought that might have been the case for you since you're a...
Well, thank you. I appreciate the compliment. No, I never had that problem, but you are certainly correct about people becoming very articulate. But what I've heard is that those who have stuttered have to pay constant attention to not stuttering. They can conquer it totally, but it is always with them in the sense that they have to be very careful, or they have to take what they have learned, and they can learn not to stutter, and concentrate very heavily on it. So he's absolutely correct. It is not an ad that is run on the network, but probably one of our affiliates. I know they've done some wonderful work in that area. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Art Bell?
Yes, sir.
Wow. I've called to tell you that I think the metal, it sounds like an aluminum can.
No, it's not an aluminum can, sir.
Oh, and it's the Chupacabra thing?
Yes.
It sounds like, in the Bible, like it's the devil.
Think so?
Yes.
Red eyes. Coming to suck your blood.
No, really.
No, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks.
What?
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye. Yeah, maybe it's the devil. You never know. I don't know what this thing is. I rather suspect that it is real, the animal is real, that we will get to see it. And I can only tell you, doubt as you may doubt, that this is really going on, that we're not talking about a couple of isolated incidences. We're talking about hundreds of animals, and now, of recent days, human beings as well, with witnesses having described exactly the same kind of creature. Now, you take that for what it's worth. All right, again, I want to remind you, mark this on your calendar. I make no guarantees about how long it will last, the civility of it. I'm hoping for the best, but Richard Hoagland, together tomorrow night at 1 a.m. Pacific Coast time with Dr. Edgar Mitchell, the Apollo 14 astronaut, subject, what is or is not on the moon? It should be something. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Yes, Art Bell?
Yes.
Yes, my name's Ruben from Delano, California.
Yes, hi.
I wanted to say, first of all, that we listened to you 6 hours here in out of Bakersfield.
My goodness.
We listened from 11 o'clock until 5 o'clock.
That's a long time.
And I wanted to say something about Mr. Clinton.
Yes, sir.
There's this saying about that Mr. Clinton was, about how he didn't want to go to Vietnam, correct? But what I say is that there's many Americans who legally avoided Vietnam also. He was not the only one. Now the argument is, well, then the other Americans shouldn't be running for any political office. But how many members of our Congress legally avoided serving in any war for that matter?
Probably many.
So, anyways, I just wanted to say that, and I guess I don't have the honors, huh, for, still got another 5 minutes.
Oh, I do. All right, thank you. Look, I don't think that the fact that Clinton did not serve in Vietnam is an issue. I do think, however, that the manner that he avoided it is an issue. And if you read the letter that he wrote to the recruiter, I think you will agree with me that it is an issue. It's an issue of character, in my opinion. Not the fact that he did not serve. There have been many people that, for one reason or another, did not serve. It's the way he handled the whole thing that is an issue. That's my take, anyway. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Good morning, Art. This is Stan in the biggest little city in the world.
Reno.
Yes, sir. We had the brake light in the sky again tonight.
Really?
Yeah, and then we had several helicopters giving chase afterwards.
Did they catch it?
I don't know. They disappeared over the Tahoe Mountains.
You wouldn't think it'd be so hard to catch a brake light, you know?
Yeah, you wouldn't think so, but...
A headlight might be a problem, but
yeah,
a brake light...
Yeah, it was just kind of loping through the sky, too.
Yeah.
And also on the La Chupacabra thing...
Yes, sir?
I have a really close friend that's down in Hereford, Arizona, right on the Mexican border.
Right.
He raises goats. And he said he lost one last week.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got a trap set up.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as he gets one, he's going to give me a call.
All right. Well, as soon as he calls you, call me.
You betcha.
All right.
We'll fax you a picture right away.
Thank you. I'll look forward to that. Wild Card Line, you're on the air.
Good morning, Art.
Good morning.
This is Diane from KABC.
Hi, Diane. How are you?
Okay. I just wanted to say that story is true about the little 18-month-old girl getting beaten by the 10-year-old.
Oh, no.
There was a 19-year-old in the house. She died on the way to the hospital with brain injuries and internal injuries.
This was a story just breaking tonight?
On the early evening news last night.
Yeah.
The other thing is that Mr. Clinton has decided not to sign the bill allowing the marriages for homosexuals because that isn't what he considers family values.
Really?
That was on about an hour ago on our news.
Oh, no kidding.
Yes.
Well, gee, what do you think that will do to the constituency that he's had pretty solidly, the homosexuals?
Well, I think they will be upset, but I think he figures that there's more that would be against it than for it. So he's playing his cards the right way.
All right, very good. Well, that is our Mr. Clinton, isn't it?
Yes.
Diane, I want to give you the honors tonight. From Los Angeles, California, it's Diane of many faxes.
Yes, and good night from the Golden State, America.
Excellent, Diane. Thank you. Well, all right, there you are. Mr. Clinton has decided he will not give the Republicans the issue on homosexual marriage and will not sign the bill. Well, we'll have to wait a couple days and see how that resonates. From the high desert, I'm Art Bell. Don't forget tomorrow morning, Mitchell Hoagland. Thank you. Good night, America.